KSL at Night.
And welcome back to KSL at Night. You're here with me, Leah Murray, and we are exploring all the interesting things that are happening in the world right now. Maybe one of the more kind of like dark or depressing, interesting things that is happening is the trial of Chad Daybell. Luckily, I've got with us our fabulous favorite co-host on KSL at Night, who is also KSL's legal analyst, Greg Skordas, to help us understand what's happening. Greg, welcome to the show.
Nice to be with you, Leah.
All right. So, Greg, let's assume everybody knows who Chad Daybell is. But just in case they don't, can you give us a real, like, top of the line, what trial are we talking about? Who is this guy? And then tell us what's been happening recently.
Yeah. So Chad is the co-defendant of Lori Vallow, who, as you recall, had her trial a year ago, and it involved the deaths of her children, Tylee and JJ. Her trial went forward. She was convicted last April or May. I think the trial started in April, and the jury verdict came back in May. And she is currently serving her sentence, although she's in Arizona awaiting trial on other homicide charges there. Chad's case has taken a slightly different track because his is a capital case, meaning the death penalty is still on the table. And so his trial started yesterday with what we call jury selection, and the judge had thought that it might take a week to select a jury. What the judge wanted was to get 50 people who could sit out of the hundreds that have been called, and then the lawyers could select the 12 that they need plus the six alternates, so 18 total by the end of this week. And so far they've got 20 of the 50 that they want, so about 10 a day. We're thinking maybe by the end of this week they'll have the 50. Then the jury will be selected from that pool on Monday. I believe we could have opening statements as early as Tuesday. But the jury selection process has taken much longer than it did for Lori, in part because, Leah, this is a death penalty case, and so the jury has to be willing to follow the law as it relates to the death penalty. They have to be willing to impose that penalty if all the circumstances line up.
Oh, that's interesting. So pause right there, Greg. If you're being called to serve on a jury for a death penalty trial, one of the things you have to say is, I would be okay giving someone the death penalty.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, but you have to be able to follow the law. You may say philosophically, I'm against the death penalty, but if the facts fit that, I will vote to impose the death penalty. And if you can't, then you're not willing to follow the law, and you'll be excluded from the jury. So if you have, religious or personal or moral reasons why you absolutely could not impose the punishment of the death penalty, you can't serve on the jury. So It's an additional qualification that we have only for death penalty cases that we don't have for any other type of jury trial in America.
All right. So I heard you earlier talking about how you thought probably a plea agreement was being discussed. Do you still think that's true? I mean, the fact that they are moving to getting their jurors and getting all this online, do you think really what Daybell's attorneys now are, we're going to go the distance with this trial?
It's hard to tell, Leah. Once you get to this point where they're selecting a jury, it becomes less and less likely that the case will settle. But there are always the chances that it'll settle. I mean, I've had cases settle even after the jury trial has started. I just thought with the death penalty being on the table that there might be some plea in the works where perhaps Chad would agree to a life in prison without the possibility of parole in order to be spared execution. And I thought the state might be willing to agree to that. I don't know which side was unwilling to get to that point, but it appears that for whatever reason, that's not going to be on the table, at least for the time being. And of course, cases like this are always fluid. So something could still happen. But right now, the state is going, and the judge is having both sides go forward with the trial and probably start opening statements, and witnesses will be called as early probably as next Tuesday.
Yeah. So, Greg, you just talked about witnesses. I remember with the Lori Vallow case, there were no witnesses called. And I remember you talking about the government, like that her lawyers must have thought the government couldn't make their case. But in this one, I think I read somewhere that there's at least seven expert witnesses being called for Chad Daybell. So this defense will actually put on a defense, right, which is different from what we saw in Lori Vallow's trial. Can you talk to us about why that's happening?
Yeah, so you're right. There were no defense witnesses called. Obviously, the state put on its case in the Lori Vallow case. But Lori's attorneys, I think, argued from the very beginning that the state just didn't have enough evidence. And so they didn't feel like they needed to put any witnesses on. Well, of course, they ended up being wrong. And so I don't think Chad can rely on that same thing. So he's probably looking at experts as they relate to the DNA, to some of the forensics that were done, to the investigation that was done, and maybe even challenging some of the findings by the medical examiner. But he's got a list of experts that he's calling in his trial because he's not going to rely on the fact that maybe the state just doesn't have enough evidence to convict. I mean, he's going full speed ahead, and I would expect that's going to lengthen the trial significantly.
All right, so how long do you think the trial is going to be? So you're saying, I think you said, probably opening statements next week because we'll have jurors in place the end of this week. How long do you think we're talking about this?
Well, Lori's trial went 5 weeks, and Chad's is expected to go twice that amount of time. So they said 4 to 5 weeks, it went five. Chad's are saying 10 to 12 weeks. My guess is it will go 10 to 12 weeks. And by the way, if he is convicted, there will be a second trial called the penalty phase where the jury will consider what his punishment will be. And in death penalty cases, the jury also decides the punishment, which is an entirely separate trial where the jury considers more than just the facts of the case, whether a crime was committed, but what should be done with the accused. So that could lengthen the trial significantly also.
So, Greg, I feel like if I had gotten called to be a juror in this case, like I'd walk in and say, I know he's guilty. I mean, to a certain extent, it feels like everybody knows, right? Like if Lori Vallow was guilty, I feel like it's the same case. So clearly he is too. Why would he not be pleading? Do you have any sense? Does that make sense, like of what his lawyers or what he is thinking?
Well, he's going to try to get 12 jurors that can say, we'll put aside whatever happened in Lori's case and judge this case solely on the evidence that's presented by the state as it relates to Chad. And he has that right. The state has that obligation. And the judge has that duty to make sure that he gets all of those rights covered for him. So, yeah. While Lori was convicted and the evidence is largely the same, he may claim that she was the mastermind. She was the one that did most of the things that occurred here, that he had limited involvement. And he may also just challenge the evidence in general that the state's got in ways that Lori didn't in her trial.
Greg, do you honestly think they can find, do you know what I mean? Like 12 people who are going to do what you just said they have an obligation to do? I mean, it seems... Right? Like, this just seems really difficult to me.
Well, in 2 days, Leah, they found 20, and they need 30 more to whittle down to the 12 to 18 that they're going to have. So, yes, they've managed to find people in that area. We're talking Ada County, which is the Boise is the county seat. I mean, the crime is alleged to have occurred in southwestern Idaho, but the trial's at Boise because it's a much bigger venue for that exact reason. So you can have a bigger jury pool who may not have heard as much about the trial, may not have formed opinions about it, and some may not know anything at all about it. I mean, it's hard to imagine, but you can find jurors who are willing to hear the evidence and decide the case based solely on what the state presents and not what happened in another trial a year ago.
Greg, when you are watching what's happening kind of the next little while, are there, how do I say, signs you would be looking for? Does that make sense to see a trial's going one way or the other?
Yeah, I'll be really interested, Leah, in the opening statements next week. I'm interested in seeing what Chad's lawyers say. I went up for the opening statements in the Lori Vallow case and was disappointed because her attorneys basically said, we don't think the state has enough evidence. I mean, that was their argument, and I appreciate that, which is I thought they would lay out what their case was. Chad's lawyers have to do that, and I think his opening statements by his attorneys will be really interesting to see what evidence they have, what they think they're going to put on in front of the jury to persuade them that he's not guilty of these three homicides and multiple property crimes.
Greg Skordas, KSL legal analyst, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Nice to be with you, Leah, as always.
Next up on KSL at Night, let's have a conversation about what happens when the state legislature starts paying attention to higher education.